So I'm a little bit embarrassed because I didn't really have or didn't properly take the opportunity to prepare for such an important topic as the life and especially the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. But by his grace and the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we can try to say something in this capacity to honor such a great personality. A personality that has such a powerful impact upon our Krishna consciousness society, our movement. In that it was by his inspiration and strong desire to take Lord Chaitanya's teachings around the world that our beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, his divine grace, made that his life's mission. And because of that, the world has been, obviously, we all know, greatly benefited. And there's no greater benefit than the opportunity for our pure devotional service, following in the footsteps of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so these great acharyas, such as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and of course his great father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and finally ending with our spiritual master, of course not ending, but making it a worldwide movement, has brought hope to the world in this a dark age of Kali, where there is no hope on any level other than devotion to the Supreme Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, today is his disappearance day, which is called Tirubhav, which is the mood of feeling separation from such a personality. And that's such that we remember him and we remember what he gave us. When a personality appears, we also honor the Avirbhav, or the appearance day of a great soul. But it is explained by the acharyas and by the shastras that Tirubhav is a more deeper and more important aspect of that person's appearance and disappearance. Why? Because when they come, they haven't really established their life, their teachings, and the lessons that we need to learn. But when they leave, that has already been done. And so, therefore, there is a greater sense of loss or a greater sense of honor towards that personality on the Tirubhav than on the appearance. So we remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and how much knowledge we have of him is really based on our hearing from our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada would say, my spiritual master is, he would say many things, but one thing he would say, very difficult to understand. And he would also say when he would speak philosophical teachings, I could not understand. But I had this strong desire to learn, and I knew what he was speaking was the best of all knowledge, and I would definitely listen. I would listen very much. We all have one particular book that has been given the purports by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and that is called Brahma Samhita. We've probably seen that. Many of us have the Brahma Samhita. We've read it, or at least tried to read it. That's my experience. And those purports, of course, are the teachings of Jiva Goswami taken by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur into the Bengali language and then translated into English by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But that English is maybe just as hard to understand as the Bengali in some sense, because and this is even said by the most scholarly devotees in our movement, that we can't understand it. So they approached Srila Prabhupada and asked him, could you write a commentary or an explanation on the words of your spiritual master? We can't understand it. Prabhupada said, let me see if I can remember exactly how he responded to this particular request. He said, actually, there is no need. He has already given it. All you have to do is read it over and over and over. And, of course, that over is depending on how much you can understand. Therefore, he said, just read it over and over and over, and gradually you'll start to, the meaning will start to awaken within your heart and mind. So that's how we can really much digest, or at least attempt to digest, what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given us. Prabhupada say he was a walking encyclopedia. His knowledge of Shastra, his knowledge of any subject that he ever came in contact, was never, ever forgotten. He used to go to libraries during his time in universities, when he was going to the university, and he would sit in the library all day just reading all the books. And he had such a memory that he could remember everything that he ever heard or ever read throughout his life. Isn't that amazing? That is a very rare quality or a rare characteristic of an individual, that they never forget anything they ever heard. And that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He was not an ordinary person who simply became a great soul. We all know the life of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur as he describes his strong desire to bring Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the world, and being somewhat feeling unqualified and at the same time going on in years, he prayed and sincerely prayed with all his heart for a long time to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to please send someone that could bring Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the world. And little did he know that actually at one point a child was born into his family, a son. It was actually his fifth child. And that son was the answer to his prayer, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Amazing. That he never even considered it would happen into his own family, but it did. And of course, that famous Ratha Yatra ceremony in the same year that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was born, only 6 months after his appearance, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had been given the charge of the, he was more like the, in charge of the Jagannath temple. And so he had that position. Therefore, he had a home in Jagannath Puri, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made his appearance on Grand Road in Jagannath Puri. So that's the same place, or that's the same avenue where Jagannath travels on his rath. And so this Bhakti Vinod Thakur had gone out of town, or had gone out of station, and during the Ratha Yatra. So his mother, or his wife, or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's mother, Bhagavi Devi, wanting to get to give blessings to the new child, put the child on the Rath cart. When the Rath cart stopped right in front of the house, she brought the little child right and placed him right at the feet of Lord Jagannath. And the child sat there, and at a just right after that, the huge, gigantic garland that Jagannath wears fell off and made a circle around the child. He was sitting in the middle of this garland, which had fallen from the body of Lord Jagannath. When she told her husband after he had returned, he understood simply by that event that this was the answer to his prayer. This was the child that he had prayed for to bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the entire world. So, therefore, in the descriptions of his appearance and his actually identity, he is called the Ray of Vishnu. He's actually come directly from the entourage of the Lord himself to do this work. not a small personality in no way. So we learn so much from the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He was strict. Prabhupada said, we cannot follow him. He made such statements like, if you don't chant 64 rounds a day, you haven't made it to human life. Hare Krishna. He would say, of course, 1 lakh of names. And so this is what he was preaching and teaching, 64 rounds a day. And of course, and he said he would never even take prasadam from householders who were not chanting 64 rounds. That's also a statement. Very strict. Strict in his teachings and strict in his personal activities. He chanted, he made a vow, and the vow took 9 years. He chanted 1 billion names of God. He made a vow that I will chant 1 billion names of God. He went to Jagannath Puri, I believe, yes. Is it Jagannath Puri? It was in, or maybe it was in Navadvip area. I'm not sure. But I think it was Jagannath Puri. And for, it took many years, but he chanted 1 billion names. Think about that. That's a lot. And he simply was eating just rice and just cooked rice. I'm not sure how it was done, but he was only eating rice for that whole time. I think it mentions it took approximately 9 years to chant that. And there's many. He's in this little hut, and he's got an umbrella in one hand, and he's got his beads in the other hand, because the umbrella has a little, the hut has a little hole in it, and so it's during the monsoons, so the rain is coming in. But it didn't deter him at all. It didn't deter him at all. He chanted 1 billion names of God. He was preparing for his mission in the world. This was in the early 1900s, just after he had received initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. That story is a really phenomenal story about how one should understand the importance of initiation. Initiation is not a small thing, because at that point, there's two things about initiation that are fundamental to the actual process. One is that it's required. And two, it is something that once accepted can never be gotten back on. You can't give it up and expect to somehow or other find happiness in life. It's such a serious thing, because we say before the spiritual master, before the assembly of the Vaishnavas, before the Lord in the form of the fire, before all the previous acharyas who are in attendance, that now I will give my life to Krishna by following the instructions of his pure representative. I make that my life and soul, my number one focus in life, the instructions of my spiritual master. So it's not a small thing. I could say some certain things about this that might scare you, but I'm afraid to scare you, because you might get angry at me. Should I say it anyway? Yeah. Prabhupada said, better to give up your life than to give up your vows. Whoa. Now, don't do that. That's what I was afraid of. Please don't consider that a serious statement, because Prabhupada made that statement in order to give us an understanding of how important it is. But he didn't want us to give up our life if we did. He wanted us to somehow or other pick up and again become, what we say, fixed like that. So, in other words, that understanding gives us the importance to never give it up. Even if we do, we should always come back. We should have, that's how serious it is. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati approached his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Actually, no, his father approached him. and said, it is time for you to accept initiation. And so he indicated, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to come to the lectures of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and sit and listen. And Bimala Prasad, which is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's given name, he would see this great saint sitting in the back, and he was very much attracted by him. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur also knew that he was the person that he should give the initiation. But there was only one major problem, not small. He wasn't giving any initiations. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur strongly encouraged his son, who also had the same desire to approach Bhakti Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and ask for initiation. So the story is, as we know, he approached him, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, to give it a very succinct explanation, said, I am not qualified, I don't give initiations. So he left, but his heart was not deterred. He came back, and this time with a greater sense of anxiety and desire, wanted to take shelter of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, you come back, I will ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you come back in 3 days. And so he did. After 3 days, he came, enthusiastic to hear the response, paid his obeisances, eager for, of course, getting accepted. And he said, did you ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, I forgot. Come back tomorrow. So again, he had to leave, and again, the waiting period was increasing his desire, you might say, or his longing. Sometimes when you have to wait for something that is really wonderful, or plan for it, which is part of the waiting, once you receive it, the cherishment or the understanding of the value increases much more. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was more or less preparing more and more. So he came back the next day, again offers his obeisances, asked Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, did you ask Lord Chaitanya? He said, yes. What did he say? He didn't answer. That was the last. How devastated he was. He was thinking, if I cannot take initiation, then human life has no value. Therefore, I should end this life. That's how serious he was. He was thinking, if I don't receive that chance to enter into the process of pure devotional service, and this is my spiritual master. Once you fix your mind and heart on the spiritual master, it's not like someone else can come and replace that. It's not like that. If you deeply, and he did deeply, fixed his heart and mind on Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So he was thinking, I should end his life. So he was walking, making that plan, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji just happened to be walking in the other direction, coming towards him. And he said, I was just testing you, just to see how serious you were. You are qualified. You will become a disciple. And he gave him the initiation, Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya, which is a name for Srimati Radharani. Like that. So, of course, after he became initiated, he performed that austerity of 9 years, performing chanting japa, and then later on in his life, you know. I tell a little contemporary story. I don't know how valuable this is, but it may have some value. Should I tell it? You sure? Okay. I'm just checking to see how eager you are to hear it, since we're checking for eagerness. Okay. This is a nice story. one devotee who was very dear to me, and who was also a very wonderful devotee, was traveling around Navadvip in some of the village areas. He went to this one temple, and he met one pujari. And this pujari also knew Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, and knew a lot about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So they got talking, and he was explaining this vrata that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati performed 1 million names, and he was explaining how he began his japa each day. You sure you want to hear this? Okay. He said he chanted the first four rounds like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can you do it? And the idea is that when you chant like that, you connect nicely with the holy name, if you can do it. Of course, it's a test. But the idea was, and he explained it in detail, that by chanting very meticulously and very methodically, with very clear concentration and counting at the same time, one can enter into the sound of Krishna's name. And then as that increases, one becomes absorbed like that. So you can also say this is a good way to connect more with the holy name. We may not have to do four rounds like that, or maybe even any. But if you can begin your japa like that, you can really connect with Krishna through japa. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. That very concentrated type of japa. Of course, you have to be careful you don't go too slow and fall asleep. But it really helps to focus on the holy name. Our problem when we chant japa, and it's the biggest problem devotees have, we're always in a hurry to finish. Even if we say we're not in a hurry, we are. Or our mind is on a different track than we are. It's in a hurry. Like that. So that's the death of japa. The death of japa is trying to finish your rounds. The idea is to take whatever time is necessary and hear, chant clearly, nicely, with focus. And because the holy name is so merciful, and by approaching it in that way, which is a mood of reverence, the holy name makes it easier and easier for us to draw our concentration like that. So I thought it would be a little nice little tidbit of information. So I was inspired when I heard that. And this, he said this is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to chant his first four rounds every day when he began that vrata. And just to connect with the sound like that. Of course, he's noted for so many wonderful things. Srila Prabhupada, we know how Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We have probably heard that pastime so many times. But it's very indicative of his spiritual power, that upon seeing our spiritual master, H.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who was Abhay Charanata, just by seeing him the first time, not even meeting, he could understand that this person would take Lord Chaitanya's teachings around the world. He has such spiritual insight. And that happened at least two times. 1936, just before he left the planet, Srila Prabhupada, 2 weeks before, also got the same letter and the same instructions. Take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the English-speaking people of the world. You will do good for them, and will also be good for you. That was the exact statement. It will be beneficial for the world and for you also. And of course, we know Srila Prabhupada took that desire into his heart in such a way that he said that I knew nothing but that instruction. There's this famous verse. Well, actually, it's a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Vavyasatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bahusakya yanatascha buddheyo vavyasahinam. That those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. And Krishna is talking to Arjuna, O beloved of the Kurus. Those who are, whose intelligence are many branched, they are irresolute. In other words, one who is focused is guaranteed success. And Srila Prabhupada said, that was my success in carrying out the mission of Lord Chaitanya. I was focused on the instructions of my spiritual master. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a nice commentary on this verse when he says that the understanding is whether it's easy or hard or difficult, that's not even a consideration. That doesn't enter into the aspect of whether this I should do it or not. Because it's the instructions and because this is my life, I've made my life that instruction. And the thing is, that is tantamount to success. One who has that fixture, like we should say, I will become Krishna conscious in this life. I will become fully Krishna. We have that desire, then Krishna will arrange through his energies the situations to bring you to that stage. And by accepting those situations he arranges, whether they're easy or hard, and usually they're hard, because they require a little bit of sacrifice. And sometimes our sacrifices, we don't see actually the results of such sacrifice, obviously before they happen. But one who has that determination and that fixture, and then success is guaranteed. And that principle is such a universal principle that it works for anything you do practically, as long as that has been blessed by others, the great souls. It's true. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that my success was simply his instructions. That's all. That's all. And therefore he took it into heart and made Krishna consciousness. What we say, a household word. People talk about it even in the household. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, there are so many wonderful stories. I'm going to read, I thought I'd read some of his statements. Of course, these are very direct, they're more like sutras of some of the principles that he enunciated in his teachings. I'm going to do it in such a way that I'll read, and if someone feels inspired by one of these, Just give an indication, and then we can maybe speak a little bit more about it. But these are just the principles. There's 64. I don't know if I can have time to read all of them. But the first one is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions on the Shikshastika Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan is the only motto of the Gaudiya Math, which illustrates the Yuga Dharma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only enjoyer. Everyone and everything else is the object of his enjoyment. And that's the essence of our philosophy. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhidam sarva bhutanam shantam mam yantam prichchati. That everything is created and owned by the Lord. This principle is the principle of success. If we can understand this, we will have no problem. Of course, understanding it is step one. Understanding it through the element of realizing it, but at least theoretically applying it, that nothing in this world belongs to us. We have no claim over anything. Whatever we have has been given to us, and whatever we have has a value in its use in our life, either to help us to live in this world or to be used in the service of the Lord. That's all. Nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to the person who made it or created it. And therefore, as Prabhupada said, the creator is also the enjoyer. Prabhupada would use the example, a painter paints a picture. Now, others will appreciate, glorify the painter, and purchase the painting, say many wonderful things about it. But ultimately, the painter painted it for his own enjoyment. Although others get so much benefit from it, it's his enjoyment that is the motivating factor of the creation. So Prabhupada used that example, that Krishna creates everything for his own enjoyment, but we share in that enjoyment. Like that. So everything belongs to him. He's the only enjoyer. Anyone, number three, who does not serve Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ignorant and a killer of himself. Wow. Any comments? Anyone who doesn't serve the Lord or doesn't make the Lord the object of service is actually ignorant. That means the understanding is they haven't understood the purpose of existence is to serve the Lord. Number four, to learn to tolerate is one of the most important responsibilities of those who are living in the ashram. Okay? Those for you who are ashramis, ashramites, something like that. Tolerance, right? It's difficult. I'm sure in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, although he had such exalted personalities, they had problems too with living with each other. It's not so easy. I remember I grew up in that atmosphere, and there were certain persons we just didn't like. What to speak of tolerating? It's just the way it was. But somehow or other, we understood it was for our benefit to work together. It was a benefit for the whole, it was a benefit for each and every individual to somehow learn to work together, to cooperate. And tolerance is the principle that makes everything happen. You have to go? You want to sit in the chair? No? Okay, I'm thinking. Okay. Number five, Rupanuga devotees offer all glory to the original source instead of depending on their own strength. Here we go. Here's is another principle. How much, when we do something, we usually think about, you know, how to do it and some of the qualifications that are required. And sometimes we think it's our efforts and we measure success and potential success or failure by our own estimated strength, right? But in Krishna consciousness, we can see, and we see this many times, how devotees have done amazing things to spread Krishna consciousness. Just like the most immediate example is, last year it was 50,000 books, right? This year it's 1.3 lakh, right? And it was just an encouragement by some few devotees who are leaders in the ashram and other, who encouraged everyone to look into themselves and say, yeah, let's do it. Let's increase, not only increase. This is like double and a half, 2.5 times it was increased. More than that, huddy huddy wo. Thank you. Yeah, but it shows, there's many, many pastimes in our Krishna consciousness society where devotees have done the most amazing things. Just how they opened up the London Yatra with 3 Grihastha couples with no money and no experience practically. And how Srila Prabhupada encouraged the devotees and Los Angeles to print 15 volumes of his Chaitanya Charitamrita in 1 month, when they were only doing one book every 2 months before that. When the devotees responded to Prabhupada's request by saying it was impossible, Prabhupada said that famous statement we all know. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That what is impossible is an estimation of one who doesn't understand the mercy of the Lord or the empowerment that the mercy of the Lord can give. So when there's an instruction, just like one person came up to me yesterday and just told me, I think it was 2 days ago, that they just received this great responsibility in their devotional service, some position. So immediately I thought of that statement. As soon as you receive the position, the empowerment is already there. You just have to access it. Success is just a matter of time. Success is just a matter of time. If one has that understanding of the mercy of the Lord and is willing to undergo the difficulties that may come by way of making it happen. Like that. But devotees like difficulties, don't we? Not everybody's responding to that one. Prabhupada said, if you join this movement and you think you want easy life, he says you're in the wrong movement. Because going back to home, back to Godhead, is the greatest achievement that the soul can attain, and that is the perfection of one's existence. To return to the spiritual world, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of joy and full of unlimited variety and association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So who can compare that attainment to anything else? There's no comparison. All other attainments, even in spiritual realms, look quite paltry in the face of that. So therefore, some difficulty is required. Some difficulty is required. And here, tolerance helps to assimilate difficulties in such a way that we can somehow continue on learning how to tolerate. So intolerance is very important. And not depending on their own strength, but on the mercy of the Lord. Number 6, those who perform assorted religious activities cannot serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Haribo. Should I expand on that one? Assorted religious activities means, you know, other than devotional service. There are things related to devotional service. But if the goal or the activity is not meant as an act of devotion, then we might say Shrama Evahi Kevalam, it's useless. It has no real value. So therefore, devotees only want to do things that are in support of or directly in connection with our service to the Lord. We're not interested in wasting time by doing other things, other kinds of spiritual activities. Become united with one purpose and serve Hari. Here's one. Where there is discussion about Hari, that is a place of pilgrimage. That's interesting. Anywhere the topic of the discussion of the Supreme Lord is there, we have been preaching in jails, and we have titled a book called Holy Jail. And some people say, what is this? Holy Jail. It's an oxymoron, right? It doesn't make sense. But actually, what it is that people in jail are chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books, and also preaching Krishna consciousness to others. That's a holy place. Simply by that activity, it purifies the place. And if a holy place is known as a holy place, but activities of devotion don't go on there, then that cannot be considered in the same light like that. So wherever the glorification of the Lord is, wherever the service of the Lord is, that's a holy place. When you do it at home, that becomes a sacred place, a place of holy place. We are not pious, sinful, learned, or ignorant. We are carriers of the dust of the feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, and we are initiated by the mantra Kirtaniya Sada Hari. In other words, to always chant the holy names of the Lord. We don't designate ourselves in these different categories. We only want to carry the dust of those who are always chanting the holy name and become like them, to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My advice, this is number 10, is do not criticize others. Try to rectify yourself. Mm-hmm. This is very, very fundamental to happiness in life. Don't find fault with others. Or, Bhaktisiddhanta said something else which is related to this. When faults of others disturb you, sometimes, you know, other people may disturb us, whatever way. He says, look within yourself and see what is causing that disturbance, and then rectify yourself. Interesting, right? And people do disturb us. Maybe their personality, or maybe they're out of time. You know, they'd want to talk to you when it's not time. Or something, you know. It's just the way life is. Look within yourself and see what is causing you to be disturbed, and then rectify that, and then become, what we say, fixed in your own Krishna consciousness. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says in one other place, no one can hurt you unless you hurt yourself. You can allow people to hurt you, and that happens. But if we see what is causing us to become hurt, we can understand and work on that. Like that. I mean, we're just on a book distribution marathon. I'm sure not every exchange was pleasant. But you can expect that. And you can say, sometimes I use this statement, hope for the best, expect the worst. If you're always hoping for the, expecting the best, you're going to be disappointed in life. But, of course, it's very natural to always expect the best. It's natural. It's just human nature. But sometimes, by being like that, it just knocks us off. Not that we have to expect the worst, but it will come. Not every situation is always ideal, and that's just the way life is. But that's good, because that strengthens our Krishna consciousness. This strengthens our Krishna consciousness. When we have to go deeper into our own remembrance of Krishna, our ability to tolerate, our ability to forgive in certain things, and that creates these good qualities, which helps us to chant the holy names. Kirtaniya Sadarahi. Like that. Okay, I don't know how long I'm supposed to speak. Can we keep going for a while? Or should we stop soon? Keep going? Is there any? Yeah, okay. Anyone want to expand on any of the first 10 I mentioned? No? Should we continue reading? Okay. Our supreme duty is to serve the residents of Braj who are afflicted by Krishna's departure to Mathura. Okay, that's... In other words, become Das Das Anuda. Gopir Bhatir Bhadagamalayor. Das Das Anudas. Become the servant of the servant of the servant of those who are serving the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. A pure devotee knows that everyone is his spiritual master. Therefore, a pure devotee can be Jagat Guru. This sounds contradictory, somewhat. Pure devotee knows that everyone is his spiritual master. In other words, we can learn from everyone. The Avanti Brahman saw good qualities in various aspects of nature, even in a prostitute. He mentions 24 gurus. One was Pingala, the prostitute, who developed complete detachment from her desire to continue her profession through the process of disappointment. Not getting any customers, she finally became so overwhelmed with disappointment that in that disappointment she developed complete detachment. And in that, when she achieved that detachment, she found peace. So that's an example of how we can learn from what we say, even apparent negativities in life. Like that. That's just an example I'm using like that. Okay, at number 13, if we want to follow the path of true auspiciousness, we should give up the countless opinions of people and hear only the words of the Vedas. He said this, he said that, she said this. What's the latest thing? Everyone, yeah, the opinions of people. So many opinions. Everyone has an opinion. In fact, everyone has a different opinion. And if you don't, if you have the same opinion, you have to, in order to express yourself, you have to come up with something different. Everyone has an opinion. But if it's not connected with Shastra, Guru, God, then we should not consider it having any value. Number 14, whatever is auspicious should be desired. Self. Whatever is auspicious should be desired. So then again, you might question, well, what is auspicious? That we have to know. What is beneficial for our Krishna consciousness? In other words, accepting those things that are beneficial and understanding what needs to be avoided. Like that. Okay? 15. An intimate devotee does not have any desire besides serving the followers of Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. Because we are Rūpanugas, we are coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. His principal teacher of his teachings is Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. We are Rūpanugas, followers in that. Therefore, we follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through the writings of Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, who has taken those teachings, have been taken by our acharyas, and that is what we have today. Number 16, you'll like this one. There is no way of associating with transcendence besides hearing. Show me. Well, what can you see? Even when we take darshan of the deity, darshan means to purify your eyes by purifying your ears through transcendental sound, and then the eyes become qualified, or the eyes become they reveal more of the actual darshan. No two people see the same thing in the exact same way. Consciousness is always different from individual to individual, similar but never exactly the same. So as sound enters into the heart, the consciousness becomes affected. And then gradually consciousness is gradually evolved higher and higher towards transcendence. So hearing more and more, especially hearing the holy name, especially hearing the glories of the Lord. These are the things that purify us. As soon as we lose the shelter of a protector, everything around us will become our enemy and attack us. Does that make sense? Anybody want to comment on that one? As soon as we lose the shelter of a protector, as it's written, everything around us will become our enemy and attack us. In other words, we need shelter. What is our shelter? The words of our spiritual master, the association of other devotees. I was feeling completely miserable today. And when I came in and I walked into the temple, it was all gone. Just by walking into the temple, everything changed. It was like the difference between night and day. I'm still miserable, but not as bad. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, what I'm saying is the transformation of feelings, which ultimately is the transformation of our consciousness, is so powerful when we come into the association of devotees who are hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We take it for granted, oh yeah, it's Guru Puja, okay, let's go. Eh, maybe not. But actually, it's really a blessing to be in such an atmosphere with the devotees. And even if you're not like all the way into it, just by being there, of course you want to be into it, you get purified. You can't help it. And so the effect of that association is actually a protector. It's protecting us against our own minds sometimes, and protecting against the negative atmosphere that is always there in the Kali Yuga. Yeah. So, the association of devotees, the association of the instructions of our spiritual master. A flatterer can never become a guru or a preacher. Okay. A flatterer can never become a guru or a preacher. I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I mean, even his disciples were afraid of him. When he would preach, he was given the name, what was it? Huh? Simha. But no, he was another one. He would cut. He would, whatever person's attachment was, he could see it. And many times he would just cut right through it, right like that. So he wasn't in any way a flatterer. Of course, a real spiritual master doesn't flatter. In Kali Yuga, you have to use words in such a way as not to offend people, because people's attachments go so deep that if you somehow or other speak truth in the wrong way, they somehow feel offended. So, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati really didn't care. He just told it like it is. What was the Prabhupada? No, it wasn't Simha Guru, yeah. He was lion-like, yeah. He told it as it is. Like that. And even his disciples were afraid he would blow people away with his preaching. But if you flatter somebody, or if you have that mood of flattering, you can't really understand what is the need of that person. And then you're actually hurting that person. So one has to speak with satyam priyam, satyam bruyam. Speak the truth in a palatable way, like that. And that's an art of preaching. Tell it like it is, but tell it in such a way that it will be at least not offensive. But sometimes we have to speak strongly. Speaking strongly is part of preaching. Speaking effectively is preaching. Strongly is part of preaching. But effectively is actually preaching. And the art of preaching is the art of practice. Anyone can preach if they simply practice. That's all. Preacher is not a special specimen that somehow disappears. Preaching means that Prabhupada wanted everyone to somehow or other be an instrument for distributing the mercy in one form or another. So that is actually preaching. So we do it through music or kirtan, we do it through prasadam, we do it through philosophical discussions, and we do it through distributing transcendental literature. It's all some way to reach out. Here's one for you. It is better to remain in millions of species like birds, beasts, insects, and worms than to become deceitful. One who is freed from deceit receives auspiciousness. Mm-hmm. Deceit is such a bad quality. Deceit means I have an agenda, and I'm lying in order to make my agenda happen. Not just speaking differently, but actually trying to dupe others into believing what you're saying in order to get your own selfish interests fulfilled. So he says it's better not even to come to human life than to be like that. But what is he saying? He's saying that that person who has that character is actually lower than these species. That's what he's saying. Such a negative quality to be deceitful. And people in business think that, you know, whatever way it takes to sell something. And so sometimes we see business goes on as legal deceit, right? You can say anything just to sell the product. Even if people don't need it, still. That's violence. That is violence. To take people's money and on the basis of giving them something they really don't need, but convince them they do. That's violence. And there are people who spend all day thinking how to do these things. It's called market salesmen, right? Advertising, yeah. They study people's spending habits and figure out how ways to give them more of the same thing in a different way. It's actually violence when you think about it. So, and of course, he's talking it on a one-to-one basis, but generally it's taking full-blown in Kali Yuga as going on as advertising. Vaishnav is the other name of simplicity. Wow. I'm sorry. Vaishnavism is the other name of simplicity. So a devotee is very simple. The servants of a Paramahansa Vaishnava are simple. Therefore, they are the best brahmanas. Simple is what you see is what you get. In other words, no hidden agendas. Devotees are not trying to hide something. No skeletons in the closets. And even if there is, then destroy it. Throw the skeleton away. In other words, a devotee doesn't try to present themselves other than trying to serve Krishna and serve others like that. They don't have another agenda. Simplicity. Live simply. Simplicity allows one to live happily. If we live gorgeously or to have a very sophisticated way of doing everything, then life becomes very difficult. The only duty of the most merciful persons is to transfer the degraded taste of people. If you can save one person from the great force of Mahamaya, then that will be a greater act of philanthropy than opening millions of hospitals. Wow. How's that? If you can save one person from the cycle of birth and death, that is the greatest achievement. And Prabhupada would also say that if you can bring, if you help one person in any way and that person goes back to Godhead, you will also go back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. You will be recognized directly by the Supreme Lord. Because that is the heart of bhakti is compassion. And the heart of compassion is to give people Krishna consciousness. Like that. Okay, any comments? Everyone's so quiet. You want me to continue? Yes, sir. Okay. Well, we've still got 3.5 hours for lunch, so anyway. Okay, so saving one person, just to see how valuable it is to make a difference in a person's life. We might think, oh, I'm preaching, I help. But how much the Supreme Lord values a person who helps another person become Krishna conscious. It's not a small thing. You save that person's life. And by saving their life, you're also helped to save your own life too, by doing that. To those who have not learned to develop the propensity to serve the Supreme Lord from self-realized souls, no matter how pleasing their association may be, it should never be desired. For those who have not learned to develop their propensity to serve the Supreme Lord from self-realized souls, no matter how pleasing their association may be, it should never be desired. Because if they're not self-realized souls, that means they have material desires. And therefore, one becomes infected by that. Preaching without protecting is nothing but a ritual of karmakanda. Ooh. Preaching without... In other words, Bhaktisiddhanta said something really, really interesting. In another way, he says, those persons who give personal counsel and advice to others do more to individuals than the platform speaker. Platform speaker is what I'm doing now. Someone who sits and gives a class. But someone who sits down with an individual and tries to help that person by giving what they need to become Krishna does more than the general speaker. So what he's saying is the same thing here, that when you do that one-to-one, of course this is also important, when you do that on a one-to-one basis, you're not only giving instructions, but you're also giving yourself along with that instruction. That means you're giving that person not only that connection, but you're giving a part of yourself with that. You're making that person important in their life. So that has real value. So he's saying that preaching without protecting is nothing but ritual. Like that. So when we give the philosophy, we should be willing to back it up by whatever else we do in life. Yes. Huh? Quote that again. Preaching without protecting is nothing but a ritual of karmakanda. That's number 23. Now, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj took these 64 principles and wrote a book on it, and he gave a commentary on each one of them. So if you want to get his realizations on these, you can get that book. It's the Sacred Teaching Series, volume number 5. Like that. So it's in the ashram also. So I'm giving just a little short synopsis of each one, but Maharaj actually wrote a book on these 64. If one just serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, his attachment to household life will diminish. That's the power of Vaishnava Seva. And serving the Lord, one will lose attachment to material household life. Not that we become less of a grihastha, but we lose the material aspect. Household life, grihastha life is ashram, but there are activities of household life which are causes one to have become attached to those things which take away from our Krishna consciousness. Attachment to money, attachment to relatives, attachment to family occasions. Haribo. So many attachments. Okay. I don't want to speak too much on that because I might be my last class I give here. They might not let me speak anymore after this one. Okay, so we'll move on to the next one. We have not come to this world to become artisans of wood or stone. We are only peons of the Supreme... I'm sorry, we are only peons of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Artisans, yeah. We have not come to this world to become artisan... We have not come to this world to become an artisan of wood or stone. We are only peons of this, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Does anybody know what that means? I could speculate, but I'm not sure. In other words, I think it means that we're not trying to do something in this world to be outstanding and make a name for ourselves. That's what it sounds like. It means one who works hard. Make some. So working hard for material gain, profit, distinction, something like that. We rather be just peons, means the lowest of the low, servants of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Okay? We will not stay in this world for a long time. Only if this body falls singing the glories of Lord Sri Hari will our birth in this body be successful. So in other words, take time for that, because this is the way to live life. This world is temporary, life is short. Life is very short, especially in Kali Yuga. It's getting shorter and shorter. Only if this body falls singing the glories of Lord Sri Hari will our birth in this body be successful. That means we'll go back to Godhead. The only desired object in our life is to collect the dust from the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, who has filled the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I think, again, that is, we are followers in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. We make his teachings the object. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, who has come after Bhaktisiddhanta, has taken that work and made it easy for us to understand. Like that. This material world, which is averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an examination hall. So, in other words, life is a test. We're going through some type of examination. The examination is to pass the test of devotion. In other words, this world is always working in the opposite way. So being here, or taking up devotional service, means to go against the grain. Means to swim against the current. It's not the way of the world. So it's a great examination. Here's one. In every birth, one gets a father and a mother, but one may not get instructions for his ultimate benefit. Sometimes we hear that same statement, in every birth we get a father and a mother, but how rare it is to get a spiritual master. And then that says that birth, although we have fathers and mothers in previous births, only when we get the position of accepting our eternal father in the form of his representative, the spiritual master, is that birth is actually the only successful birth. In other words, the other births are preparing us to come to that. But if we miss that birth, we've missed everything. So, every species, there's a father, every species, there's a mother. But only in human life, and when one gets the shelter of Krishna's representative, then that is our ultimate benefit. Although the activities of a devotee and his misdemeanor. I'm sorry. Although the activities of devotee and the misdemeanor of a pseudo-devotee appear to be alike. Although the activities of a devotee and the misdemeanor of a pseudo-devotee appear to be alike, there is a heaven and hell of a difference, like milk and lime water. Mm-hmm. Pseudo-devotees are those who present themselves. Sometimes we say Falguni? Yeah, Falguna Vairagya. External presenting, internal, the enjoying mentality, like that. So how is that understood? It's understood that one performs the externals, but never makes attempt to change the heart, purifies the heart. Therefore, when performance of bhakti, it's not only about the activity, it's about the mood that the activity is performed in. That mood is the essential aspect of the activity, not the activity itself. Sometimes we see people are very much attached to the ritual, and don't even know why one is doing it, or ultimately why. And therefore, they consider that performance is the activity. But the mood of the activity, or the goal of the activity, which is attained by the proper mood of the activity, is the activity, like that. Just like we have kirtan, we always say, sing, sing loudly, sing from your heart, don't space out. Don't think about what's coming later or what happened before. Stay, live in the moment, be here now, right? That's the idea, is to somehow absorb yourself in the activity, in the mood of the activity is meant for, with the mood of attention leads to devotion. Sometimes we say, with devotion. Yes, but devotion cannot be always accessed so easily. But attention is the stepping stone towards devotion. Because when the attention is there, then we're actually connecting with the spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy inspires the devotion. Like that. So, yeah. So that's the point, is actually try to purify your heart through the activity. Not just go to meet your friends. That's nice too, but that's not the goal. Okay, so we're halfway there. We just finished number 31. You still with me? Just let me know when you get tired. Because those who mistake dishonesty to be honesty, or a crook to be a saint, will fall into great difficulty, as a person who tries to cheat an ironsmith by supplying him bad steel. So somebody wants something made, and so they want to do it at the cheapest way, so they give bad steel and get they don't get the actual product, or they get something cheap. So mistake dishonesty to be honesty. You know, generally the nature of a devotee is they want to trust everybody. It's just like that. Devotees are like that. They're good people. But, of course, we have many stories in the movement where devotees have trusted people from the outside who appear to be very well-intentioned and well-wishers of our movement, and later on turn to be something else like that. But Prabhupada, although he was he had all good Vaishnava qualities, he was also very able to see the genuine from the artificial. He could tell like that. So that's something that's not so easily noticed. Sometimes you notice it after it happens, like that. So, but therefore one should be careful not to accept when we say something that may appear to be the real, but is not. What would be a good example of that? Yes, Nandan. Yeah, that was an example. Mr. Price cheated the devotees, yeah, by saying that he actually wanted to give the property that the devotees were looking for, new temple, at a cheaper price because he liked the devotees a lot and saw what they were doing was good for everyone. So he was very favorably speaking, spoke very nicely, made everyone feel comfortable, very friendly. Therefore, it was very hard to detect, but Prabhupada could see it. Prabhupada said, don't trust him. Only when he provides all the material up front, then give the money. But the devotees made the mistake and gave the money ahead of time, and then the man took the money and left. $5,000, that was in 1966. And that was a lot of money in those days. You could buy a car for $5,000 and still have enough, at least $1,000 left over. I remember I bought a car for $4,000, brand new, in 1962. So, yeah, that's how much money has changed. So $5,000 was a great loss. But Prabhupada somehow or other came back and did a little fighting and retrieved 2,000 of it back. But we lost $3,000 because the devotees trusted. So therefore, it's, you know, one has to be a little careful. As soon as we get to know the absolute truth, we should be fixed in it. Instead of wasting a single moment of time, we should be engaged in serving Sri Hari. As soon as you understand that this is it, then that becomes, you become fixed that this is where I should focus my time, energy, intention, everything like that. Many people mistake imitation to be following. These two words are not the same. To play the role of Narada in a play is imitation, but to follow the path according to Narada Muni is following. To follow the path of devotion according to Narada Muni is following. So anuskaran, imitation, and following. So what does following mean as opposed to imitation? One becomes inspired by a great soul and one wants to emulate them but not imitate them. Emulate means we want to also do have wonderful qualities like that. So we pray to that person, we glorify that person, we hear about that person, we make that person an object of our service and glorification and learning. And by their mercy, we start to develop in that way. Now, imitation means you just do what they do. You try to act like that. And persons, we've had that, where people would like to try to imitate Srila Prabhupada. Of course, we can't condemn that completely in the sense that it's natural to want to be like a great person. But at the same time, to imitate doesn't work because you don't have those inner qualities. The outer expressions are simply in a composite of what's inside. Imitation is cheap like that. Any comments on that? Yes. Yeah. Do what they say. Yeah. If they tell you to do what they do, that's different. That means you're doing what they say. But don't surreptitiously or presumptuously just go ahead and do things. And it looks cheap. And it actually doesn't have any value. Really, it's about trying to imitate. And imitate means to call attention to yourself in an artificial way. Like that. Number 35. He who is constantly absorbed in discussing about Srihari is a saint. One who is constantly engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a saint. One who is, in all his endeavors tries to serve Krishna is a saint. Three different ways of describing saint. 36. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, offers himself, something remains unoffered. But if a devotee can offer the Lord completely. Should I read it again? Yeah. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, offers himself, the Lord offers himself, something remains unoffered. But a devotee can offer the Lord completely. It's clear now. Huh? We have to get Krishna through his devotee. Well, you might say, if Krishna offers himself, what's incomplete about that? Because he really says, if you really want me, you have to go through my devotee. That's an interesting statement. Takes a little bit of thought to figure this one out. If Krishna offers himself, it may not be so easy to get it, although he offered it. Because the process doesn't change. I think when Krishna offers himself, he's offering himself through his representative. That's also there. But he can offer himself directly. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says something remains unoffered. He doesn't say what that something is. We might say that the spiritual master is more merciful than Krishna. Does that make any sense? In the sense that Prabhupada would say, if I get this right, if the spiritual master wants to offer an unqualified devotee to Krishna, then Krishna has to accept. But if that unqualified devotee somehow or other doesn't get that mercy, although it's the same person, Krishna won't accept. So it's the pure devotee that carries the Lord completely. So service to the pure devotee is actually the real service to the Lord, because only then Krishna accepts everything that is offered coming through his pure devotee. Does that help? Any comments on that? Okay, I'm just using philosophical speculation here. Don't try to become a guru to become envious. Do not try to become a guru to become absorbed in material attachments. But if you become my unalloyed servant, if you have my potency, there is nothing to fear. Huh. So what he's saying is that only by the mercy, the Lord's mercy, should you take up that position and not try to become a spiritual master for anything, any other reason, or through any other means. In other words, Krishna Shakti Vihana He Tadvara, when Krishna empowers someone, then one can perform that service on his behalf. Without the empowerment from the Lord, simply accepting the service, there is always material desires connected with that, or material attachments. Okay. A bona fide spiritual master is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one cannot say that the spiritual master is the personal manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will not be able to utter the holy name of the Lord. So you might even say, if one has any doubts about the position of the spiritual master or his qualifications, then one cannot chant the holy names properly. Number 39, in order to teach how to serve him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appears as the spiritual master. So we might say, there is the Lord who is served and the Lord who is being served. So sometimes we say, not only sometimes, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the first chapter, that the spiritual master is servitor Godhead. There's God who is served, God who is being served. So that's why when Prabhupada made that statement, which blew everybody away, and one should see the Supreme Person, one should see the spiritual master as God himself. And then he walked off at the end of the talk. This was in 1966 when nobody knew anything. Before that he was saying, anyone who says he's God, he's dog. Now he's saying he's God. Everybody became doubtful. But one person had a little insight and said, no, he's not saying he's God. We should see him that way. And therefore we should serve him in such a way as if he were, if God was appearing in that person. And he is like that. Otherwise, if you say, you know, hey, Guru Maharaj, Prabhu, how you doing? What's happening? How's Guruism these days? You know, kind of hang out with the Guru. Doesn't work, you know. So there's five, what we say, disqualifications of a disciple. Hypocrisy. Diplomacy, faithlessness, disobedience, and familiarity. This is mentioned in Sixth Canto in the story with Indra when he offended Brihaspati. He committed these, and that's mentioned in purport. It's mentioned in the translation. Prabhupada takes the translation and shows these five. He calls them the five disqualifications of a disciple. And one is familiarity. Sometimes a spiritual master will act like your friend and even become very friendly. But it's dangerous if you take that and reciprocate it in the same way. If you lose the mood of awe and reverence, you actually lose the relationship. So people should be very careful never to lose the mood of respect for the spiritual master, or the mood of service to the spiritual master, or to think that the spiritual master is just an ordinary person. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do that. And sometimes the spiritual masters may also act in such a way where that could happen. And that's maybe his nature is to be friendly, but don't take it the wrong way. Okay. A living entity cannot derive any real benefit by reading hundreds of books or pretending to render devotional service according to his own ideas. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, 4 books. That's all you need. That's a tough one. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, when he said it, it was teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, and what's the other one? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, these four. There's actually a lecture called 4 books where Prabhupada said, in these 4 books, everything is there. So at least, if you do read other books by your spiritual master, which are really books that are based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, should always stay in contact with these 4 scriptures, because these are the essence. These are the law books. These are foundations of our teachings. And therefore, we should know these books, read these books, and we may read the books of our spiritual master. Because something in relationship to an object is also as good as the object. But then again, if you go outside of that arena, then you might get... I won't mention any names, but I know one devotee who was very, very much into Christianity when he came to Krishna conscious. Very staunch Christian. Also, he was like a Christian philosopher and had studied Christianity from different angles. Became a devotee, started reading Prabhupada's books, read more and more of Prabhupada's books, collected a big library. But somehow in his quest for knowledge, he again came back to his interest in Christianity. So much so that it overshadowed his interest in Prabhupada's books, and he went back into that and he became a fanatic to understand various aspects of Christianity from all angles, even what they call the radical types of Christian philosophies. And he's pretty much absorbed in that. And he finds that more of an interest than Prabhupada's books. Now, that's very painful. But he still reads Prabhupada's books, but his interest is in these things. So these other books can have a tendency to stimulate the mind with various interesting things, but they don't reach the heart. And that's the problem. Mental stimulation is another form of sense gratification. And so we can get stimulated by these things. I'm not talking about practical books that could be used for our service, but other philosophies that are mixed with karma, jnana, or various types of yoga like that. So be careful. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta says. We can't derive any benefit from that. Number 41, being cheated by those who misled people in the name of Harikatha has become a sort of religion in this age. It's everywhere. Especially during Bhaktisiddhanta's time, there were so many cheating out asapradayas that would go on in the name of followers of Lord Chaitanya, followers of Lord Nityananda, like that. So that was big. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur really fought against that as a principle. He led the fight, and Bhaktisiddhanta took it up. So therefore he was in Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarne Rupunuba Apasiddhanta Dwanta Harine. That was his mission, to destroy those so-called Apasiddhantas, those who are not in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are professing Krishna consciousness like that. Okay. Well, how are we doing? We're still hanging on? Okay. Some will be able to understand the profound meaning of the imported truth that is being spoken fearlessly after hundreds of lives of hundreds of yugas. Unless hundreds of gallons of hard-earned blood is spent, we will not be able to make people understand this truth. So he's going right to the essence. It's not so easy to make a convinced devotee, someone who is actually fully fixed in Krishna consciousness. So he says it takes a lot of hard work. And that means gallons of blood means a lot of effort. And Prabhupada would say, if I could make one pure devotee, my mission is completely successful. And then, of course, he said, but Krishna has sent me many. But he said, if I could make one, because one pure devotee can change the whole world. Like that. So to make someone fully Krishna conscious, it takes hundreds of gallons of hard-earned blood is spent. But he doesn't say Krishna conscious, to be able to make people understand this truth. What does he mean by that? He means that when they understand that this is the truth, there is no truth second to this truth. This is the truth. There's no other truth. When one becomes convinced of that, then one has become convinced. The Lord does not accept anything offered by those who do not chant 100,000 names of Lord each day. We mentioned that in the beginning. Okay, so we got to start working on our japa here. Ooh. Japa marathon every day. Yeah, he said it. 100,000 names, 1,64 rounds, like that. Prabhupada tried to introduce that into our society at the beginning. And he got a little resistance, a lot. But the excuse was accepted, because the excuse was we have so many services, Prabhupada, and it won't be now possible for us. So Prabhupada reduced it to the, what we say, the acceptable minimum, 16 rounds. And even hats hard, right? My God, 16 rounds. Oh my God, so much time. But 64 rounds? But I'll tell you a secret. You all know the secret. The more you chant, the easier it gets. Right? It's the nature of the holy name. When you stay with it, if you can get through those dry periods and just continue with your efforts, always trying to improve, when the taste comes, then it just flows. And then Prabhupada also gives a nice statement. He says, when you're actually chanting the holy name, you'll say 16 rounds, why not 16,000? In other words, we think this is it. There's nothing else in the world. It's just the holy name. It becomes everything. We live in the holy name, and the holy name lives in us. So what he's also saying, that type of chanting will absorb you in the holy name. If you're going to chant 64 rounds, you better be absorbed. Because to chant without being absorbed, it will be just very difficult. And you probably won't be able to make it. 64 rounds. Okay. Association is the principal impetus in human life to serve Lord Hari. Due to association of non-devotees, one gets material propensity. Due to the association of devotees, the spirit soul gradually becomes absorbed in serving Sri Hari. This is the greatest shelter of a human being. Never become averse to it. So this is the emphasis, sadhu sangha, the importance of devotee association. Just recently, I just took a health vrata, and I went down to one place, and I was away from the association of devotees. Although it was one devotee was coming every day bringing me lunch prasadam, and I would see him for a couple hours. Throughout the day, I was mostly with very pious people who were somewhat religious, but not Vaishnavas, not devotees. I was miserable. I mean, I was trying to chant and read more, and which I did, and that helped me. But there was something missing, and I knew what it was. It was the association of other devotees. And I actually tried to escape from the hospital twice. They grabbed me and brought me back. Seriously. I said, I'm leaving. They said, your treatment's not over. I said, I'm leaving. They said, you can't go. You'll get sick. I stayed. But I got a taste of, a bitter taste of what it was like not to be in association with devotees. You can taste it after a while. You start to feel the unhappiness that comes. And because when you're with devotees, it's you're with Krishna. Devotees carry Krishna with them. And there's one thing about devotees. They're really nice people. Did you know that? I'm sure you all do. They're the nicest people you can meet. And they actually care about you. And that's the wonderful thing. And sometimes I make this little example. If you were locked into a jail and somehow you were there, and some devotee who you never even knew, or maybe you would see him and never consider that person an associate, if that person came to see you while you were in jail, you would feel so happy. Wow, someone came to see me, a devotee. It didn't matter who it was. So when we're away from the association of devotees, it's our material propensities can also come back again. Or whatever is there can be, increased. So devotee association means association of the Lord. And as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, never become adverse to it. Always seek it, and when you have it, never take it for granted. It's so valuable. Whenever there are material difficulties, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead becomes the shelter and allows one to serve Him. Prabhupada says, sometimes we experience some anxiety, some discomfort, our minds become disturbed. Sit down. He uses the example, you drop something in the water and you want to find it right away. But if you immediately try to go for it, you agitate the water and you can't find it. He says, sit down for a little while, be calm, and then when the water settles, you'll find your object. So what is he saying? He's saying that just sometimes when things just go and you just feel like you're in a box, you just can't go this way or that way, sit down and just chant. That's all. Just chant. And after some time, everything will be clear again. You had that experience? Just sit down and take shelter. Or sit down and offer prayers to the Lord and wait for His mercy through those prayers. What can we do? We're small. We get overwhelmed by so many circumstances. We get overwhelmed by other people. Just become peaceful and take shelter of Krishna. And we're not looking for anything in the shelter. We're just looking for the shelter, that's all. Don't try to find something. Just look for the shelter, that's all. As long as one has anarthas, one does not receive the good fortune of becoming the servant of Srimati Radharani. Those who discuss the transcendental pastimes of Srimati Radharani, the dear most servitor of Sri Krishna, are sense gratifiers, covered enjoyers, or prakriti sahajiyas. So there's our class of people who like to go right to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And they think they're discussing the highest, and they present themselves as very knowledgeable. But they're full of anarthas, and they have material motivations. When anarthas will be removed due to chanting of the holy name, then Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes will automatically manifest from the name. There's no need to make an endeavor to artificially remember his form, qualities, and pastimes. Anybody have the Veda base with you? On your phone? Or someone? Look up Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 8th chapter, verse number 53, the last paragraph in the purport. If you can find that. That kind of, Prabhupada kind of mentions that. 4.8.53, the last paragraph, I think, in the purport, or next to the last. Somebody could read it? Yeah. Read it nice and loud. So that illustrates what we're talking about. No need to make an extra endeavor, but to concentrate on the sound like that. Is that controversial? No? It's clear? Yeah. Okay. Just, I think sometimes we try to surreptitiously or artificially put the form in the mind, but we can't keep it. So the mind, it'll come when we are actually absorbed in the chanting. All of you preach the message of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami with great enthusiasm. Our supreme desire is to become the dust of the lotus feet of the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. We are followers of Rupa Raghunath, as Krishna Das Kavi Gaj Goswami ends each one of his purports in the Chaitanya. Rupa Raghunath Kabe Koradate. Rupa Raghunath Kabe. Narada. What does he say? It's Krishna Das. The last verse in every chapter of the Chaitanya Charita. We are followers of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami. Rupa Goswami is our Abhideya Guru. He teaches the process, and Raghunath Das Goswami is our Parojana Guru. He teaches the process of Radha Krishna Bhakti in Vrindavan, like that. So we want the dust of these two great souls. We follow their teachings. Here's a long one, number 49. Do not give up devotional service, even if there are innumerous dangers, countless insults, and endless harassment. Innumerous, countless, and endless. Dangers, harassments, and insults. Do not become disheartened that most people in the world do not accept the message of unalloyed devotional service. Never give up your devotional service of hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is your everything. Always chant the holy name. Become more and more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. So insults, harassments, And sometimes dangers can help us become more tolerant and more humble. So because they're actually benefit, and they help us develop, that can help us bring about these qualities, which allows us to chant the holy name more and more. So never get discouraged. Devotees do get discouraged sometimes by reverses in life. But Krishna is allowing these things. He doesn't put them there, but he allows them to happen. So it gives us a chance to make some advancement, or purifies us from some anartha. These things are good when they're seen as opportunities for developing qualities or for remembering Krishna more. We do not want to become great fruitive workers or religious leaders. All we want is to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Prabhu. That is our original identity. That is our everything. So again, he mentions Rupa Goswami a lot, because we are followers mostly of his teachings, the teachings given to him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly in the form of his instructions. So we're not interested in all these things. We just want to be the dust. In other words, we want to be servants of the great souls. That's all. Devotees don't aspire for position, power, or facility. We aspire for service. And in service, everything is there. We might doubt that, but actually, when we understand how valuable it is to just to have the opportunity to serve, then we'll do our service with that understanding. And then when we do that service with that understanding, we'll start to appreciate the service more and more. Because it's so readily available, and sometimes it's even optional, we don't even understand it. But when we understand, I mean, I think the worst thing in life was if you get up in the next morning and you said, well, there's no service for you, we don't need you. You would be lost, right? What can I do? Of course, that would never happen. But using that as an example, how much service is valuable. And Prabhupada even said that, oh, to become a servant? That is high. That is very high. To become a servant. And to become das anudas, das das anudas. How high is that? Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God. He wants to become a servant, just to taste the happiness of the role of the servant. So service is the occupation of a servant. And so that is our life, to serve. Whether it's this service or that service, of course we have our taste, and that's nice. But if we get a chance to serve, that is our good fortune. Okay. 51. We should not display any kind of aversion towards Sankirtan Yajna, which is the perfect sacrifice, complete with the seven forms of sacrifice. If we have gradually increased love for that and everything, Sankirtan Yajna, and everything else will be accomplished, and we will attain ultimate perfection. Hari Bol. Harinam Sankirtan Ki. Just preach the words of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath with enthusiasm and courage, with complete dedication to the followers of Rupa. Like that. So Sankirtan Yajna is the best. And of course, Sankirtan also means to give Krishna consciousness to others. Prabhupada would say book distribution is Sankirtan. Book distribution is Sankirtan. It's the best form of things. And sometimes he would give priority over book distribution than Harinam. But he said both are equal, actually. Because book distribution is the glorification of the Lord in transcendental literature that is being disseminated. So we're glorifying the Lord in transcendental sound through the holy name. That is the same thing in two different forms. So there's no difference like that. Glorification of Krishna is the focus like that. Okay, 52. If I stop preaching the unbiased truth due to fear that people will not like it, I'm accepting the non-Vedic way, rejecting the Vedic way. Then I become an atheist and I lose my faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the personification of truth. If I stop preaching the unbiased truth due to fear that people will not like it, right? Some people don't like it. It's just a fact. But that doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. Yes. Question?